We've got a new series today. We are looking at the book of Ephesians, which we'll come to in a moment. And the title for this sermon series is, What is Your Starting Point? In life, where's the beginning that you root everything? Where's the foundations that you build upon? What's your starting point in life? I remember when I was a little boy, I grew up in West London until the age of 7. Then we moved to Ilford with my dad, mom and brother. But before that, I lived in West London near Ealing. And when I was very little, my parents took me to a crusade. It was like a crusade on the common, on Ealing Common. They got a massive tent. They had a band. This was late 70s, giving away my age here, but this was late 70s. They got a band. They had a preacher in. I can't remember who it was. Someone like Billy Graham, although it wasn't Billy Graham. And they had a crusade, and they kind of leafleted the whole borough, the whole area, and they got hundreds of people came to this crusade. And my parents took me along. I was just a little chap, about the age of my youngest Levi, about that age, my parents took me along, and they had some worship, they had a bit of introduction, and just before the main guy came to preach, the person hosting the event said, oh, we'd love a volunteer. We just got a little thing to do from the front, and we'd love a volunteer. Now, I've never known to be that shy, and so letting go of my mum and dad's kind of hand, I ran down to the front. And I got onto the front of this stage, in front of this huge kind of tent. And the guy with the microphone looked down at me and he said, oh, we've got a little volunteer. I grabbed the microphone and I said, I'm not little. I'm 4. And for me, at that time, that was my starting point in life, my age. I was 4 years old. That's what life was about. I was 4. And in my world, that was what mattered. That was what I built my foundations upon. A 4-year-old boy. Now, I wonder if you think about this. I wonder when you introduce yourself, how do you introduce yourself? Do you introduce yourself and say, hi, my name is, and I'm a teacher. Hi, my name is, and I'm married with 2 children. Hi, my name is Dylan. I've got a girlfriend. I'm going out with someone at the moment. Or hi, my name is, and you know what? I drive a Mercedes, a BMW, whatever. We all find ways of introducing ourselves. We all find ways of beginning, of having a way in which we say, well, this is me. This is my starting point. This is my foundation. The problem comes when we lose our job. The problem comes when we have a relationship that falls apart. The problem comes when our name is dragged through the mud. The problem comes when there's no money in the bank account. Then where is my starting point? Then where is my foundation? And what we're going to do over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at some key starting points from the book of Ephesians, some key foundations to build your life upon, some key cornerstones of who you are, some key truths to propel you forward. Let me just give you 2 minutes of introduction about the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians was written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, and I would say it's one of my favorite New Testament letters. It's an absolute joy to read Ephesians. Some books of the Bible, they're a challenge, and it's good to be challenged by them. They really work your brain. I find Ephesians such a joy. I would encourage you over the next 5-6 weeks to regularly read the book of Ephesians. It was written by the Apostle Paul. It was one of 13 letters of the Bible that Paul wrote. Paul wrote almost a third of the New Testament. And it is written to a church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a wealthy city at that time. It was a commercial and a trade hub. And it was a powerful place. It was an urban setting. Commentators say roughly 250,000 people lived in Ephesus, which was a lot of people for that time. So I can believe we can relate to it. Like in inner city London, we can relate to this book. And the people of the church were newer Christians. Many had been saved from pagan backgrounds or saved from a Jewish lifestyle. And Paul writes the book of Ephesians to them to give them their starting point, to give them their new identity in Christ. He says, look, read this letter. It will give you your new identity in Christ, what it means to be a Christian, your starting point. Now you are a believer. And here's why I think this is so important. So many people today live for an identity. They're searching for an identity. As Christians, we live from an identity. This is absolutely key. You know, so many people in the world today, and even as Christians, we can have a tendency to live for some kind of identity. My career, my family, my job. But actually, Paul says in these pages, he says, as a believer, you live from your identity. Who you are in Christ is your starting point. Jesus defines who you are. He defines who you are. That's your starting point. It's not about what we do or fail to do. It's about who we are in Christ. Galatians 2 verse 20 says this, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. When you become a Christian, Jesus comes to live and dwell inside of you. He's in you. Now your identity and your starting point is in Christ. That's your starting point, because Christ lives and dwells inside of you. And 12 times in the book of Ephesians, this phrase, in Christ, is used. And 22 times, there's some kind of a reference to it. And as believers, if we are in Christ, it changes everything. Now, we're going to read just two verses today. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Just two verses. And, you know, so often we can miss the introduction. So often we can skip the first few verses. They all get to the exciting passage. But I want you to look at the wonderful truth that is here in these first two verses. So let's read them. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1 to 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saints in Christ Jesus. There's a very simple message today. We're going to unpack it a little bit, but it's a very simple message. The simple message today is that as a believer in Christ, you are a saint. That's your identity and that's your starting point. We're going to look at four things that relate to that. But that is the very simple and basic truth that if you grasp hold of and if you live from that, I guarantee you it will transform your life. Firstly, everyone who is a believer is a saint. We hear this word, saint, 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 saint. You hear that word? And you think, surely Paul didn't mean everyone in the church in Ephesus was a saint. Surely he meant just the leaders. Surely he just meant the holy men, the holy women. Surely he meant, you know, those whose marriages were in good shape or those who were upright citizens. No. Paul is very clear. Everyone who is in Christ is a saint. I wonder, what do you think of when you hear that word saint? Do you think of a picture of someone in an old cathedral? Do you think of Mother Teresa? Do you think of biblical pictures of people? What do you think of when you hear the word saint? If you've got any Catholic upbringing, your mind will be popping when I hear that word saints. And in the 17th century, the Catholic Church put this whole 10 steps to how someone becomes a saint. 10 steps to become a saint. But Paul is saying to the Ephesian Christians everyday, average, flawed, ordinary Christians like you and me are saints. We're saints, not because of what we do, but because of Jesus Christ. A saint is someone who is in Christ. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, anyone who has put their faith in Jesus Christ and their Lord and Savior is a saint. I want you to do one thing for me. We don't always do this, but I want you to do a little bit of audience participation just at this point. I want you to say in a moment, I am a saint in Christ Jesus. I want you just to say that out loud, because I want you to just break the sound barrier. For some of you, this will be easy, but for some of you with maybe tradition and background, you'll find this hard, or your head won't kind of compute. But this is truth. This is your starting point. This is your identity. So in a minute, I want you to say, I am a saint in Christ Jesus. I want to say it out loud, okay? You ready? I'll count you in 1, 2, 3, so we all begin together. Just say this out loud. This is truth. This is your identity. This is your starting point. Every single one of you. You ready? 1, 2, 3. I am a saint in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's who you are. That's your starting point, your identity. Yes, we get things wrong. Yes, we mess up. But our identity and starting point is a saint. Every day when you go to work, your starting point in the morning as you have your shower and put on your clothes is, I am a saint. As you walk to the office, I am a saint. As you go to university, as you spend time with your friends and family, I am a saint. As you're home alone, I am a saint. As you face trials and difficulties, I am a saint. Every single one of you, whatever your circumstances, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a saint. That's the first thing. The second thing, everyone is a saint. But saints still sin. Saints still sometimes get it wrong. God originally made mankind without sin. Read Genesis 1 and Genesis chapter 2. But as we know, sin then entered the world and affected everyone and everything. But here's the tragedy. Here's where so many of us get it wrong. We focus too much on the total depravity of humanity and the helpless state of humanity, and not enough on the fact that we are saints and that we are children of God. Yes, it is true that we get things wrong and we are sinful. But in Christ, our starting point is different. In Christ, our identity is different. So a saint does sin. Look at 1 John 1 and verse 8. This is what it says. We do get it wrong. We do sin. If we claim to be without sin, this is to believers, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So yes, we get it wrong. Yes, we sin. But here's where it's absolutely key. A Christian is one who has a saint as their constant identity and sinner as their occasional activity. Can you see the difference? So important. Mindset, starting point. Identity is that we are a saint who occasionally falls into the activity of sin. We are not sinners. We are saints who sometimes get it wrong. Saints whose activity is sometimes not godly. But a saint is our starting point. That's the place that we begin. So let me really be practical for a moment. You might think, you know, someone becomes a Christian. They've got a background in addiction. They've got a background in huge sin. They've got a background in all kinds of problems and difficulties. Their relationships are a mess. Their body's a mess. Everything is such a mess. You think, how on earth is someone going to live a holy life? By focusing their lives, their identity on Christ Jesus. They are not a miserable sinner. They are a saint. That is who they are. A child of God made in the image of God. So it's interesting, in the Bible, in over 300 places, the Bible refers to people who aren't Christians as sinners. But it refers to believers. It refers to people like you and me with words like saint, holy, righteous over 200 times. So the Bible is clear. Our identity as believers is as a saint, as righteous and holy. That is our identity, not as a sinner. The Bible's absolutely clear about that. So it's interesting. So that the recovery movement is wonderful. AA and all the stuff, Alcoholics Anonymous, drugs, things like that. They're incredible work that they do. But they miss the boat on one thing when it comes to identity. They have this thing, don't they, and identifying with the sin and the struggle. And they say, you know, hello, my name is, and I'm a alcoholic. You see, the problem with that is it focuses on the sin, it focuses on the negative. As a Christian, there is something different. As a Christian, we can say, hello, my name is, I am a saint. I struggle with alcohol. I struggle with various addictions. But my identity is in Christ. Sin can explain some activity in your life. Sin explains some of the consequences that you are living with in your life, but it is not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. And with that knowledge and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can then change any activity. Okay, third thing. I'm a saint in Christ Jesus. Third thing. And this is a very small point, but I think it's important. A saint is convicted, but not condemned. You see, all of us have regrets about our life. All of us have moments that we look back on and we're ashamed of, or we look back on and we wish that we could change. And as saints, as we mature in our relationship with Jesus, it's funny, we often see in greater measure the sin in our life. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, who we look upon as one of the most holy men in all of Scripture, describes himself as the chief of sinners. Why is that? Because I think he became holy, close to God, understood more and more of his identity, and then realized more and more of his sin and more of the way that he'd fallen short. Now, it is good to feel remorse. It is good to confess your sins. It is good to repent and turn in the opposite direction. It is good to ask God for forgiveness. These are good and godly things. The Bible models godly remorse and repentance. From David to Peter, throughout the Scriptures, tears of godly people who have got it wrong. Truth about themselves, then the light of God's holiness and God's forgiveness. They are good things. As a saint, if you are convicted of what is wrong, that is a good thing. But here's why I'm mentioning this, because there is a danger that as saints, we shift from the conviction of sin, which is a good and godly thing, to condemnation, which is a work of the evil one. And the shift can be so subtle. You see, conviction is from God, but condemnation is from Satan. Conviction, when it leads to repentance and forgiveness, brings life and joy. But condemnation brings despair and shame and sorrow. Conviction makes you look to Jesus, because he is the one who will forgive you. Condemnation makes you look to yourself. It makes you navel gaze. It makes you become completely inward looking. Conviction is a blessing. When you get that stirring in your heart, I did that wrong, I messed up. When you get that stirring in your heart, look upon it as a blessing. It's a good thing. It turns your eyes to Jesus. You can turn and you can know the freedom and the forgiveness of the Lord. Condemnation is a burden. People who are saints but condemned, feel condemned, walk around like this. They walk around with a heavy load. They walk around with the shame, the despair, the sorrow, and the burden of condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, our starting point is I am a saint in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. And conviction of sin, knowing I've got things wrong, is to lead to godliness, but never to condemnation. Final point. A saint is powerful. It's powerful. As saints, we are tempted to sin. We are tempted to sin. You know, I know, we walk out the door, we go into our Sunday, we go to our Monday morning, we will be tempted to sin. That's the struggle, the life that we have. But as our starting point, with Christ in us, knowing that I am a saint, I am then not obliged to follow that temptation. Yes, I will be tempted. Yes, I will face temptations left, right, and center. But because Christ is in me, I am not obliged to go down that path. I do not have to go down that path. The temptation will come, but I don't have to go down that path. Let's read about Jesus. Jesus, our high priest. Jesus, our example. Jesus, our savior. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about Jesus. Jesus was tempted. And this is what it says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted. There it is. In every way. Just as we are. Tempted in every way. Just as we are. Yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus was tempted in every way, but he did not sin. When we are tempted, as we will be, and being tempted, don't listen to the devil. Being tempted is nothing to feel condemned about. It's nothing to feel condemned about. We will feel temptation. Jesus felt temptation. But we have a choice. And as believers, we have a very, very real choice. And that choice is, do I go down the sinful route? Or with Christ in me, I have the ability to walk the godly path. I have the ability to go the way that God has called me to go. We'll be tempted in every way, but we are to remember that we are a saint. We are, and our rooting is in Christ. That is our identity, and we have the ability to then say no and walk in ways of holiness. I want to pick something out here. You know, Jesus was tempted in every way. Jesus was a human just like you and I. And I want to pick something out of the scriptures in the gospels. There's two examples where God from heaven in a loud voice speaks and reminds Jesus of his identity. Reminds him of who he is. And both of them are absolutely key in the gospel narrative. And here's what I want to put to you. If Jesus needed reminding of his identity, of his starting point, of his foundation, then how much more do we? So let's look first. Luke 3, verse 22, in Jesus' baptism. And the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. God is reminding Jesus that he is God's son, that he is pleased with him just before he goes into the wilderness and faces temptation. He's reminding him of his identity to then go and face the barrage, the greatest barrage of temptation that Jesus faces in the Gospels. Reminded of who he is, his identity. And what we have here, because then it says in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus went into the wilderness. What we have is the two things as believers that we need to fight sin. You need to know your identity, who you are, that you are a saint, that you are a child of God, and then you need to know that you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Those are the two weapons that you fight temptation with. How do we know that? Because they are the weapons that Jesus fought temptation with. With knowing his identity and being full of the Holy Spirit. That's one example. The other example is found in Luke chapter 9. And verse 35, this is at the Mount of the Transfiguration, when Jesus takes three of his disciples up the mountain. And again, we have a voice from heaven. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, who I have chosen, listen to him." All the commentators will tell you that the Mount of Transfiguration is one of the turning points before Jesus then heads to Calvary, heads to the cross. So God was reminding Jesus, before he faces persecution, before he faces the most horrific trial, physical trial, emotional trial, spiritual trial, he's reminding him of who he is in Christ. He's reminding him, this is who you are. You are my son. You are my beloved. And then full of the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus went, faced the cross, and died on the cross for each one of us. Two significant moments in the Gospels, just before Jesus went out into the wilderness, just before he headed towards Calvary. And at both moments, what does God do? Remind Jesus of his identity and who he is. That is so significant, I believe, for us. We need to look at how Jesus said no to sin. And then take that example and run with it in our lives. Let me kind of earth it for some of you. Let me just really earth it practically. That means that every day, you know, I would say every day when you wake up, say, "I am a saint, a child of God." That, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, will enable you to live a powerful life, a holy life. If you're married, say to your husband, your wife, say to your other half as you wake up, you know what? You are a saint. You are a child of God. Speak it over each other. Find a selection of "I am" sayings that you can get off the internet, or I can find one for you which talks about all the phrases of who we are in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of light and not of darkness. You know, all of these phrases in scripture that describe who we are, have them. Have them in your Bible. Have them on your phone. Memorize them. So you know your identity. You know who you are in Christ. Let me throw out another idea. Why don't you kind of each day this week text someone, WhatsApp someone, a scripture telling them who they are in Christ? We all like to be encouraged, "Oh, you did that great," or "That's great." But why don't you just send someone an encouragement, which is a scripture of who they are in Christ? Ping around community groups. Ping around friendship groups. You know, this is who you are in Christ. This is your identity. You're a daughter of the King. You're a son of light and not of darkness. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. Ping those around. Share them with one another. So in your heart and in your mind, your starting point is, my identity is, I am a saint. When you know your identity, you're then empowered to live as a saint, live as a child of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a trend in modern life. There's a trend, you go to a bookshop. There's a trend in kind of like building up our self-esteem. You know, building up one another's self-esteem. And there's nothing necessarily wrong in that. It's just, as Christians and as believers, we have something far, far better than building up one another's self-esteem or some self-help book. We have something far better than that. We have the truth that in Christ, we are saints. In Christ, we are children of God. In Christ, we have every spiritual blessing poured out upon us. What a wonderful truth. So I want to conclude. I want to bring this together. And in one sense, it's ever so simple. If you don't remember anything from today, I want you to remember your starting point, your foundation, what you build your life upon as a Christian is, I am a saint. In Christ Jesus, I am a saint. Not through what I have done, but through Christ's work on the cross. That is everybody. Regardless of how long you've been a Christian, regardless of what is going on in your life right now, regardless of anything in your bank account or anything going on, regardless of that, you are a saint. Yes, a saint still gets it wrong. A saint still sins, but that is not your identity. That is an activity that we sometimes slip into. And saints, remember the power there is in knowing your identity. Jesus was reminded of his identity by the Father in heaven. If Jesus needed reminding of it at key moments in his ministry, how much more do we need reminding daily, daily, daily reminded of our identity in Christ? So here's my challenge. Here's my challenge. My challenge this week is to live from your identity and not searching for an identity. Not searching for an identity in your relationship or in your job or in what you achieve in life. No, live your life from your identity as a believer, as a saint, as one in Christ Jesus. As Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, Jesus said this. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go, live life. Go live the calling that is on your life. I, Jesus Christ, do not condemn you. Go and live. Knowing your identity, go and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go and sin no more.